Beware the scribes who like to wear long robes and be greeted with respect. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gospel lesson is also begging for a homily about stewardship, is it not?
Yeah.
But today I want to begin with the book of Ruth. We heard our first lesson from the book of Ruth. It's about a woman of Moab, not a Jew, not an Israelite. The Moabites were the other people in the land, and they had an unsavory reputation because they were other. And a patriarchal society was especially suspicious of women. But Ruth, when she was widowed, she remained devoted to her mother-in-law and accompanied her back to Israel. And so Ruth became an immigrant, undocumented, and of a race that was much maligned, the subject of ugly epithets. And we won't even get into what happened on the threshing floor and why Boaz was so concerned that Ruth not be seen there. But God chose Ruth to be the great-grandmother of King David, an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Ruth was a critical part of the story of God, the critical part of our story. Last week, you may remember, we recounted, we rehearsed, we re-promised our baptismal covenant. And when we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, what we're doing is we're confessing that we believe the same about every person we meet, that each one is a critical part of the story of God. Since Tuesday's election, I've spent a lot of time thinking and praying about the events of this week and what a pastoral response looks like. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? We are blessed, truly blessed here at St. Thomas to enjoy a diversity of opinions. Our diversity of opinions and our diversity of experiences issue forth in the deep and complex motivations that shape the different ways that each of us votes. I've been aware of the concerns about fairness and accuracy in the election and the success with which this one was carried out, pretty much like all that have gone before in the United States. It was by the books. It resulted in a clear and genuine manifestation of the will of the American people. Democracy happened, and decisions were made without resorting to violence. That, after all, is the purpose of democracy. And so, in an important sense, in this election cycle, it was a success for every person involved. And to this, I imagine we can all say, God be praised. Because it doesn't happen like this in every place. It doesn't happen like this in every time. There are places around the globe today where transitions in power are times of persecution and imprisonment and civil war. But not here. Instead, on Wednesday morning, some woke up rejoicing about the results of the election, and some were crying. Some were mildly disappointed, and some didn't know what to think. And all of that is as it should be in a democracy. We made a decision together, and that decision involves compromise for the sake of our country. Tomorrow, we will celebrate Veterans Day, and this capacity to share power and to choose is indeed the privilege and the responsibility for which our veterans served and fought, and sometimes endured great hardship or grave injury or death. And for this, our veterans are to be honored and thanked. So what next? It's quiet in here. Despite the claims of partisan strategists, politics is almost never a clear-cut case of good and bad and right and wrong. As much as the people around Jesus begged him to do, Jesus never invited his followers to rally around a national flag, not even his own. Jesus was not willing to be co-opted by any party or any social movement. Jesus urged his followers to live peaceful lives, to contribute to society in ways that make the world a better place. But Jesus was not naive. Jesus knew that governments and institutions frequently cater to the wealthy, the powerful, and the connected. Jesus, however, always sided with the poor, with the oppressed, with the marginalized. On the cross, Jesus joined the company of the very least in his society, choosing to die the death of the slave and the traitor. So in wondering what would Jesus do, the crucifixion is always our starting point. How do you feel as a voter this year? Or maybe you didn't vote, but probably you still found the cultural currents of emotion lapping at your feet, like the waves of the Jersey Shore. There have been some ugly currents this election season. Ugly words, crude epithets. And these have created a climate of permissiveness for the expression of all kinds of violence and cruelty and xenophobia and racism. This is the world we've lived in through this whole campaign season, and I pray that it will stop now. But I'm not feeling optimistic. And I'm concerned. I'm worried about my family, my friends, my neighbors. I'm concerned about Father Robin Pierre, a priest in this diocese, who's leading several parishes, mostly of Haitian immigrants, including a congregation in nearby Millville. Father Pierre's parishioners have found their culture maligned with demonstrably false accusations. Their dignity was chosen as a price someone was willing to pay for a few more votes. I'm worried about undocumented people who belong to our neighboring parishes. Right? A nearby priest texted me asking for help. People who have lived here for decades and raised families and who now wonder if those families are going to be ripped apart after clear, explicit, and repeated promises of mass deportations. I worry about a variety of friends, both clergy and lay, who now fear that the rights that they have as a married couple to care for each other in their old age might be taken away because they don't fit someone else's ideal of what a family should look like. I worry about trans people, trans children, and their parents and their friends, including several who are connected to St. Thomas, who are afraid not just of laws being proposed to limit their access to medical care or to schools or to other resources, but also the mental and emotional and spiritual damage that lies in the offing. I've asked what they fear is suicide, because that is a real and present danger, especially for trans children in a culture which denies their legitimacy, their right to exist, their right to have their own unique experience as human beings. I worry about my wife and my daughter, as they anticipate further government meddling with their bodies and their private conversations with their doctors. These are all real people. These are not just, you know, people out there somewhere. Not just neighbors, but close neighbors. These are members of St. Thomas, members of nearby parishes, members of our diocese. I've spoken with some of my family and with colleagues and with neighbors about how they feel about this election, And, you know, many of them feel vulnerable. They feel like targets. They're tired and afraid and despondent. And this is not okay. This is not what Jesus is about. This election has divided friends and strangers, created distance and silence within families, within my family, and has caused not a few people to walk out of church. Which raises the question, why are we here? Right? Us, St. Thomas, what is our purpose? We are here today for the same reason that we come here every week. Because God calls us here. Because God calls us to be God's people in every circumstance of life and at every time. Because God calls us as disciples of Jesus Christ to a special concern and responsibility for those who feel vulnerable or afraid or marginalized. The gospel is about Jesus' solidarity with those who suffer. The gospel is about Jesus' solidarity with us. Democrat or Republican or independent, young or old, black or white or brown, rich or poor, working or retired or underemployed, male or female or non-binary, articulate or slow of speech, we are all different people. But we are, all of us who have been baptized, we are first and foremost Christians. We are the people who gather in God's name and lay our meager gifts before God and ask God to act in our lives so that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
In the church, there is no place for hatred or bias or discrimination. In the church, we learn to stand with the vulnerable, with those at risk, because Jesus chose to stand with us. In the church, we learn to lift our voices on behalf of those who think they have no voice. In the church, we learn to express solidarity with those who find themselves otherwise marginalized, sometimes making the difference between life and death. And so as we sit for a moment, I invite you to take stock. How are you feeling today? And what about your neighbors? Your neighbors? Who among your family, your friends, the person sitting next to you in church, who might have experienced this week differently than you did? This is the place, this is the time for us to draw together as the church. This is the time to check in with your neighbor, to ask with genuine curiosity, how are you? It is in times of chaos and confusion, disruption and realignment, that we in the church do our best work. Looking to Jesus Christ and following him always. I pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that especially in the community of St. Thomas, we will be mindful to care for, to protect, to love one another and all our neighbors as ourselves.